The Old Testament lectionary reading today comes from the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. Begin the reading in verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. God of power and grace, fill us with the wisdom of your word and the understanding of your spirit, so that we may be your church, a people with dreams and visions at work in all the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Harini Logan won the Scripps National Spelling Bee on Thursday night. She is 14 years old, lives in San Antonio, and she is $50,000 wealthier than she was a week ago. I have great admiration for spelling bee champions because I am a stickler for spelling. I'm the go-to proofreader on the church staff because I can look at a page of print and immediately find the typo or the misspelling or even too many spaces after a period. It is both a helpful and a terribly annoying gift. Mark Twain thought it was a boring person who knew only one way to spell a word. That is not me. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. That's all a lead-in to tell you how traumatized I was to discover, well into my 20s, that I had been spelling the word dilemma incorrectly for my whole life. Instead of two M's, I thought it ended in M-N-A, and that the N was silent. I was wrong. Have you ever had that experience? To learn that something you had believed all your life turned out to be wrong. Like that a penny dropped from the top of the Empire State Building could kill a person. It can't. It might sting a little. Or that you can't swim for 30 minutes after eating. Really, you can. And it doesn't take 7 years to digest chewing gum if you swallow it by accident. Or maybe you discovered something more life-altering, like finding out that the person you thought of as an older sister or brother was your mom or dad, and the people you grew up knowing as mom and dad are actually your grandparents. That's all to prepare you for what I'm about to say. Everything you've ever been taught about the Tower of Babel is wrong. Now, to be fair, the Tower of Babel is no longer on the greatest hits rotation in elementary Sunday school. But still, I suspect you know the story. After the ark comes to rest on dry land, God tells Noah and Mrs. Noah and their children to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so they do. That's Genesis chapter 9. But by chapter 11, things have gone south. Humans decide to build a great city and a tower with its top in the heavens to make a name for themselves. Otherwise, they say, they'll be scattered across the face of the whole earth. It's nothing but human pride and hubris. Let's build a tower to the heavens. Let's make a name for ourselves. And I bet that all the interpretations you've ever heard before suggest that this is threatening to God. This is only the beginning of what they will do. God says, nothing they propose will now be impossible for them. So God scatters the people, gives them different languages and different cultures, and read this way, those different cultures and languages, diversity itself is a punishment. Difference and diversity are simply consequences of human pride. That's the traditional way the story of Babel has been interpreted, that the people were getting too big for their britches, as my grandmother used to say. And so God scatters them in order to humble them. And read that way, you could understand why some interpreters would then see Pentecost as the undoing or the reversal of Babel. At Babel, languages are confused, so people cannot understand each other. Pentecost unifies the people because the Spirit allows everyone to understand one language. Except that none of that is in the Bible. In the first place, in that Pentecost story from Acts 2, we're never told that everyone understands one language. You heard Rachel read a bit of it earlier. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. A few verses later, Luke goes on to say that the crowd was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. They don't all speak one language. They each hear the gospel in their own language. It's also a problematic reading of the Genesis passage. The chapter begins by saying, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. Dutch scholar Ellen van Wolde writes that the phrase, let us make a name for ourselves, is actually better translated, let us make one name for ourselves. It appears, she says, that the people don't want multiple names. They all want to be known by one name. Now it's interesting because this story is bracketed on either side, all of chapter 10 and the remainder of chapter 11, by genealogies, the begats as we sometimes call them. Hundreds and hundreds of names and details about where people settle and who their descendants are. It's all about individuals. And yet here at Babel, the people seem to be saying, we don't want to be individuals. We want to all be the same. Now, what's behind that? Fernando Segovia, who teaches at Vanderbilt Divinity School, suggests that when God says this is only the beginning of what they will do, God isn't threatened by human beings and their power. Instead, God is annoyed because when we assume that everyone else is just like us, we turn inward and focus only on ourselves and the people who look like us and talk like us and think like us and vote like us. One people, one name, one language, one culture, that has never been God's plan. Now, still, there are plenty of people who will tell you that Babel is just what this country needs right now. They don't say it in those words, of course, but they yearn for things to go back to the good old days when everyone was the same, as if that ever happened. But that's not about pride. That's about fear. Fear of what is different. Fear of what we do not know. If everyone speaks the same language and uses the same words, then perhaps we all think the same thoughts and hold the same opinions. But backwards is never an option. And so we start to create language about those we see as threats. Fearing refugees and diversity, we use terms like illegal aliens, shortened to just illegals, as though any human being made in the image of God could be illegal. Politicians talk about a swarm of immigrants who threaten to infest the country, as though desperate people were no more than insects or cockroaches. Will we ever learn? We called Native Americans savages, even as our European ancestors savaged them. For 250 years, black people in this country were referred to as property. Women were considered the weaker sex and thereby denied the right to vote. No wonder then. No wonder that by verse 5, God takes a close look at Babel and decides, enough is enough. Left to ourselves, there is no end to what we will do when we are afraid of those who are different from us. So the Lord confuses languages to stop the building project. The unoccupied city is named Babel, and the people are dispersed abroad on the face of the earth. Now, I suppose you could look at that as punishment, but I think God means it to be a blessing. From the beginning, God says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Never settle down, speak the same words, and wall yourselves in. Now, look, that's hard work. I won't pretend it's not. It's hard work, but it's important work. That's why our beloved community series begins again tonight with St. Paul AME Zion. We have to learn how to build relationships with people who grew up differently, who speak different languages, whose skin color is different from ours. Because as I read the Bible, as I read the story of Babel and the story of Pentecost, that's exactly what God is after. Different, God says. Different is good. Amen.